नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। So thank you very much for joining today's session. We have been discussing from the book Manasiksha by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. And we are currently in the seventh verse, which talks about the subtlest of all anarthas, which is desire for fame and recognition. So I'll request Radha Pramod Prabhu to first start with his recap, and then we will continue with today's discussion. Over to you, Prabhu.
Omagyanathimirandasya jnananjana shalakai chakshurun melitam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So we are discussing from Manasiksha verse 7. I will not go for the verse and translation, as Prabhuji will take. I'll just we'll recap from last whatever we discussed from last 2 weeks also. So Pratishta Asha, desire for prestige. Because it is cheating, now it is desire for prestige. So Pratishta Asha is the subtlest layer of anartha. Desire for prestige. People, there is a desire that people should recognize me, appreciate me, respect me, understand how I am advanced. And this is compared to unchaste dog eating woman. And one may have overcome the gross and subtle anarthas. So here, the thing is, the person who has overcome this got subtle anarthas, he wants that people should recognize him. People should respect him for what he has deserved, because he has achieved something very big. So he has become advanced and he has overcome anarthas. So he feels, why people are not recognizing me? Actually, he is expecting to get what he deserves. It's a rightfully is right. He is not hypocrite, because hypocrite is expecting respect which he does not deserve. But whereas Pratishtasa, he deserves it. Now, what is the problem? It is not wrong to expect, but if somebody want to get Krishna prem, then he has to give up even that part also. So that is the problem. If you want Krishna prem, heart should be free from the desire for expecting respect also. So as long as this is unchaste, because we want Krishna to be respected, not ourselves, is dancing in my heart, how is it possible for the chaste and pure Shuddha prem to dance in my heart? So prema for Krishna that sadhu has in his heart, and so this is, where is it? That is, it is in the sadhu's heart. So, and the solution is, my dear mind, you should always serve the incomparable beloved devotee commander of Krishna's army, and we have to serve these exalted devotees. That exalted devotees will drive away this dog eating woman and will establish pure Shuddha Prem within one's heart. So as soon as we give up the desire for prestige, the door for Krishna Prem opens. Now this is what is the meaning of the verse, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives in his commentary, Bhajan Darpan commentary. So he says, why is it that deceit still lingering in the heart despite one's having given up all material sense enjoyment? He says, this is the explanation. He says, first he is explaining Pratishta. So the Pratishta is desire or hope for honor, so which nourishes and generates other form of deceit. So even if this subtlest thing remains, again it will bring out all the things which he has lost, again it will come. So unless one gives up this, it is not possible to give up kapata, kutinati and other things. And why is it drishta shameless and unchaste? Because this desire for honor is the root of all other anarthas. But since it is never able to recognize its own fault, that's why it is shameless. We have it, we'll not be able to understand. And why it is Swapacharamani? Fame is like dog flesh, or one who is eager for such fame is dog eating woman. And then where all it is, how it is manifested in three types of sadhakas, swanishta, parinishta and nirapeksha also we discussed. He's a householder with no varnashram duties, swanishta. He wants to become renowned as a religious, benevolent and sinless. And whereas parinishta sadhaka, he hopes to be known as a devotee of Vishnu, as a knower of spiritual subject matters and as detached. And whereas nirapeksha want to be known as spotless and renounced, as a master of conclusions of shastras and has having a perfect understanding of devotion. So now this is what is the level comes and they don't receive prema. So what is prema? That is explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Rupa Goswami says when bhava becomes extremely condensed, it is called prema by the learned. It softens the heart completely and produces extreme possessiveness of the Lord in the experiencer. And only when the desire for pratishta is cast away, one's heart becomes soft. And it is said that who we should serve, the solution is Pravdaita Atula Samanta, a powerful, incomparable commander of Sri Krishna. He's a perfect devotee of Krishna, a special, incomparable commander of army. If we dedicate our life serving such a devotee, then we can overcome pratishta. When we are engaged in serving such most exalted devotee, then we feel, why I should be respected? He should be respected. So we slowly give it up. So the rays of Lord's internal pleasure potency are always reflected in the heart of such devotee. And this potency can very easily flow and accumulate in the heart of another individual. So this is how it happens. Is that technology is like that, which will cast away any misgiving and help pure love to grow in there. So how it comes, these are the very potent forms is embraced just from their feet, Mahaprasad and instructions. And Lord Shiva tells to Parvati how worship of Lord's devotees more superior than serving the Lord. And then this is what we discussed last week from this verse. So how bhakti develops in the association of devotees, for this Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes few verses how by serving devotees, intense rasar bhakti to the Lord who is fixed in one's form and destroys obstacles. So he quotes this shloka and then he quotes next shloka also, durapaya alpa tapasa. So in that he says, service to devotees, those on path of Vaikuntha who are constantly singing about Supreme are rarely achieved. So this alpa tapasa is very rare, but it's a figurative speech. So it's not that somebody has to do any tapasya to get. So it's just to tell how rare it is to get an opportunity to serve devotees. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita, the three most powerful things of a Vaishnava, they are explained, dust of the lotus feet, water that wash their feet, and then the remnants of their food. And then another thing is like Rupa Goswami, he compiles a shloka from in Bhaktarasam Sindhu, saying that when somebody sees the symptoms of bhava in a devotee, he says, my mind has for some reason become so attached to the form of Krishna that I have no attachment to my family. So one who sees these symptoms, then he will get attracted. So now what happens is people may say, okay, if I see, then I will also get attracted. I will also serve such a devotee. So this is explaining the potency of serving a devotee. But what happens? But we may say that I don't see such devotee anywhere. So that's why I will not take association till I get advanced devotee. So this is a wrong attitude. Or they say rather than serving advanced devotee, we should keep serving devotees at least first of all. Otherwise what happens? We'll forget that service only. Even if we get opportunity, we may not do. Or in the guise of this reason that I am not getting any pure devotee, we may do service to ourselves. So we should carefully observe whether I am not doing service because I am not getting a pure devotee, or it's not that we should not hide our enemy of inability to serve, saying I am not finding any pure devotee. So we should be very careful. We should start serving devotees in any range, and once we get some exalted devotees, then we should be able to give our life, dedicate them. So we cannot find a devotee based on external ashtasattvic varas. We cannot, they are not the reliable symptoms. The reliable symptoms are the internal things, the tolerance is, he is never wasting time or detached from sense gratification, humility, asha bandham samutkanda, and namagana sadaruchi, all these nine symptoms which are there, they are actually what we should see, they are internal symptoms. And this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. And then now we have Shivanand Swami Maharaj's commentary, who is explaining that our desire for fame is like outcast women eating dog's flesh in my heart. And now he says that desire for pratishtha, dissension, fame, honor, prestige, especially in spiritual circles, are hanging in there. So it is always there. We should be careful. And we cannot just have desire for honor without deceit. Mara says, if you have desire for honor, there will definitely deceit. And then we don't think it's a problem because we feel we deserve it. So there's a first reason Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said. And it is tenacious and excruciatingly difficult to get out. So very difficult. Then Maharaj gives example of Duryodhana. How he justifies. He says, as far as I see in my heart, I never feel that I have done any injustice for Pandavas. So he tells Krishna that don't push me for this. That I should give a village to Pandavas and all. So he says, I am not at all wrong. And then there he gives example of an emperor without clothes. So all his followers are there. They are so much praising him and all. And he's going without clothes. But they're telling, oh, they're very beautiful clothes. So this is how a person who keeps such followers with him, he will be naked, but he cannot understand that. And the solution, Maharaj is explaining, serve the pure devotee of Lord only means to drive this problem out. And this is scientific process, how the transcendental Vishuddha Sattva potency in the heart of a pure devotee is able to penetrate our heart. And then Pratishtha Nari, so then he gives another example of Madhavendra Puri. He says Pratishtha Nari Sada Kuvari, because Madhavendra Puri, as soon as he came to know, he got that keer, then he understood, now people will appreciate me. He didn't want it. So Pratishtha Nari, so pure devotees, the fame want to go behind them, but they run away from them. And people who want fame, they run behind Pratishtha, but she runs away from them. So this is how it happens. That's why she remains always Kuvari. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I am lower than Jaga and Madai. So it is their emotion. They genuinely don't want any respect and they feel that they are so fallen under. And when desire for fame is there, deceit comes, because when we don't get it, then we try to cheat. This is how it happens. And not only that, we face disgrace that we don't deserve as a devotee. Sometimes they commit such things like, because first is deceit, and then we try to justify what we did. Then we start doing Jiva Himsa, and then we try to offend devotees, and then we try to create trouble for them. And that's all we remain in our life. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sastra says, better that I am in the association of those who are pointing out my faults. We have to do the right things and give right things. So this is actually what is important, that somebody should be always there monitoring us and telling, so what is right, what is wrong with us. Now we are there, we can help devotees, but when we are helping, we should be careful with certain things. So we want to give some help for devotees, but it should be we should be like-minded and we should be affectionate. And we should also see, by my giving things, is it helping him to advance or he is suffering? And we should also check our intentions, why I am doing it. And last thing is, I should enhance his moral and enthusiasm. So this is the solution, to be in the association of devotees, and they regularly help us to find our faults. So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, bro. Thank you very much. A very nice summary. So let's continue. We discussed a lot of things. So We have been discussing the commentary by His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj on this topic of Pratishta Asha. We'll chant this verse once and see the meaning. And then I will do recap has been done, but if some points I just would like to highlight, I will just highlight before we open up for some discussions based on what we discussed last week. And then we will start today's discussion. So we'll chant the verse together. Pratishta Asha Drishta Shvapacha Ramani Me Hridi Nate Katam Sadhu Prema Sprushachi Shuti Retan Nanumana Sadatvam Sevasa Prabhudayita Samantamatulam Yatatam Nishkasya Tvaritam Ihatam Veshayati Saha. So he says that Drishta, as long as that shameless, unchaste Shvapacharamani, the dog eating woman of Pratishta Asha, the desire for prestige, may Hridi Natet, as long as she dances in my heart, Katam Shuchihi Sadhu Prema Sprishati Etad, how is it possible for the chaste and pure lady of love for Krishna touch my heart? Only one of the two can stay. Where the unchaste dog eating woman of Pratishta Asha is there the chaste and pure desire for the lady love for Krishna cannot touch it. So he says, therefore, my dear mind, Sadatvam Sevasva Prabhudayita Samanta Matulam. He says that therefore you should serve. The solution for this desire, for the solution for overcoming this problem of Pratishta Asha, the desire for fame, is that one should always serve very advanced devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we accept that position of servitude towards these great devotees, then automatically the desire for fame, glorification and respect is subdued, and naturally there is a transfer of the feelings of love of Godhead, which is there in the heart of the advanced devotee, that gets transferred to us. So this is what Shilvandas Goswami says. So we had a nice recap of by Pada Pramod Prabhu, so I will not go into this. So I will just see. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains that this is what happens after repeated attempts to weed out deceit while still hankering for honest distinction. So we may have overcome the desire, we may have overcome deceit and hypocrisy and pretense, but if the desire for fame does not go away, then that dog-eating woman will attract her upapati, her paramour, which is all this deceit. So therefore she will not alone, she will attract her paramour, which is deceit. That's what he is telling here. So the solution is we have to serve the pure devotees of the Lord. This is the only means to drive this problem. So therefore we are dependent on mercy of the devotees who can come and drive out this problem of Pratishta Asha. So therefore we are incapable of doing anything on our own. We are dependent. We are helplessly dependent on the association of devotees, especially advanced devotees whom we can serve, and in serving them in the right mood, they can remove this desire for prestige and fame from our fame from our heart. Okay. And he says that this desire for fame is very, very difficult to go away, because subtle things are very difficult to get rid of. The grosser things are easier to go, but the subtler the thing is, the more difficult it becomes even to find it, what to speak of removing it. So just like, you know, the gross garbage can be removed, but the subtler dust to sweep it and remove, the subtler and subtler it becomes, cleansing process becomes all the more tedious and difficult. So this is either in our house or from within the heart, it is the same thing. The subtler is the anartha or the dust, then the more tedious and difficult does it become to remove it. So the problem of this desire for fame is that it is very difficult to accept, because the mood of justice is very strong. Because justice seems like a good thing. Justice does not seem like all that bad. You know, all we are asking for is justice. We are not asking for anything. We are not trying to cheat others. We are not trying to show off something that we are not. But what I really am, only that much recognition I am asking. So what is wrong in seeking justice? Because justice seems like a very good thing. So therefore, it becomes very difficult to, you know, find out, to trace this anartha. Because we don't even see it as an anartha. So even within spiritual circles, this need for justice is very strong. Okay. But where there is a need for justice, we may get justice, but we will not get mercy. Because mercy means we receive something that we don't deserve. But if we are adamant at receiving what we do deserve, then we won't get what we don't deserve. Actually, that mercy we will not get. So ours is a society. Ours is a, you know, is an institution where we are praying for mercy. But in praying for mercy, if we are adamantly attached to justice, if we are adamantly attached to justice, then we lose out on mercy. So we have to see whether I want to stand on my own legs and seek justice, or do I want to be carried by Krishna and get his mercy. So therefore, this Pratishtha Asha is a very, very subtle anartha for which, you know, it is very difficult to get rid of it, even to detect it, what to speak of getting rid of it. And then we saw the example of Duryodhana, who refused to give 5 villages. So he said, it's impossible for me. I am a Kshatriya. For me, I am the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I deserve, you know. So, and he said that I looked in my heart very deeply. I could not see any flaw. So therefore, don't ask me for 5 villages. So therefore, he was completely willing to overlook his fallen state, fallen degraded position like that. Anyway, and then we also saw the example of emperor without clothes. It was because he was so self-absorbed, it was difficult to find out the faults in himself, even though others could see it very clearly. And then we saw the example of Madhavendra Puri, who actually ran away from this desire for fame, but fame ran after him. We saw the example of that story of Madhavendra Puri and Shirchor Gopinath. So then we saw the example of the advanced people don't want any recognition, and Shri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami actually says that I am lower than Jagai and Madan, and I'm like a worm in the stool, like that. So here, but on the other hand, we are not even remotely as accomplished as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, but we are very attached to getting what we deserve. And that actually deprives us of the mercy which the Supreme Lord is willing to give us, much more than what we deserve, like that. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his song commentary, who does she dance with? She dances with her lover. And what's her lover's name? Kapatya Tad Upapati. Deceit is her paramour. And then they are dancing. And naturally, when the desire for fame is there, then deceit comes. When deceit comes, finally, Jiva Himsa and ill will and all these other more grosser anarthas which we had given up will naturally come. So therefore, the root of the problem should be addressed. The root of the problem is actually, in terms of anarthas, the root of the problem is actually desire for fame. And of course, the desire for fame is a result of a malnourished heart. You know, we discussed the other day also. So when the heart is not sufficiently malnourished with the Vaishnava Preeti, that is why this is such a powerful point that Srila Raghunath Das Goswami is making here. And the same point is made by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also in his book called Bhajana Rahasya. In that, which is a commentary on the Shikshashtakam, he says that the desire for fame, the desire for glorification, this is actually a symptom of Hridaya Daurbalyam, a weak heart, a heart which is not sufficiently nourished. So the symptoms of that weakness is attachment to material things, desire for fame, desire for glorification. These are the symptoms of a malnourished heart. And he says, so what is the solution for this Hridaya Daurbalyam? He says, follow the fourth verse of Nectar of Instruction. The solution is the fourth verse of Nectar of Instruction. Dadati pratigrinnati guhyam akhyati pruchati bhungte bojete cheva shadvidam priti lakshanam. The six exchanges of love. So when we have these six exchanges and experience the love of the devotees, then our heart becomes so satisfied with that love and nourished with that love, then there is no malnourishment. Then the symptoms of malnourishment, that is desire for fame, attachment to material things, that vanishes. The same solution is given here by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami also, where he says that when the desire for fame is there, then go and serve the server devotee. And how do you serve? Through the six exchanges, right? Dadati pratigrinnati. So service can be through giving some gifts. Service can be through giving some physical service. Service can be by cooking for him, right? So in this way, and then serving can be also in sharing one's heart with the person. So in that way, one can reduce. So in this way, one can actually develop that love. And when the heart becomes nourished by that love, then naturally the symptoms of malnourishment, that is desire for fame and everything, goes away, right? So, and that's what he says, and same thing that he mentions here also. So, therefore, but if we always are addicted to, you know, surround ourselves with people who will keep on glorifying us, and if we become attached to that, then we will, in one sense, become addicted to the state of malnourishment. So we will become addicted to the stage of malnourishment, and then we will never get proper nourishment. So instead of covering ourselves with such kind of people, we should cover ourselves with people who are actually, in one sense, well-intentioned, affectionate, very advanced, like-minded Vaishnavas who have lot of affection for us, and they don't mind finding faults with us. So that we should be, when we surround ourselves with such people, and we give them the access to correct us when we are straying away. So then that is very good. So then it becomes very easy for us to rectify our problems. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, better that I am in the association of those who are pointing my faults and helping me maintain a humble attitude than to be with those who praise me. Okay. Like that. I think this is where we ended our discussion last week. So at this point of time, I will pause to see if there are any quick discussion points or questions or comments. If we have some, we will take. Otherwise, we'll move to today's discussion. Anything anyone would like to share, add, you can please raise your hands and please share. Okay, if there is none, then we'll continue our discussion. There is something in the chat box. Okay, there is one. Is a nirapeksha devotee free from pratishta asha? A real nirapeksha devotee, in the truest sense, has absolutely no scope for any pratishta asha. But one who has just externally accepted the dress of a nirapeksha devotee, who has accepted the dress of a Babaji, a person who is simply at the stage of bhava and prema, but still internally not purified, then such a person can definitely struggle with this pratishtha. So that is the point. But if he is a real nirapeksha devotee, then there is no scope for him to have this kind of pratishtha asha. Okay. There's another thing in the chat box. So this pratishtha asha is same as amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Yes, definitely. Yeah. Not acting any respect for oneself, as Lord Chaitanya says. Yes. So the question continues. I was thinking, if we have helped someone in their spiritual lives and been their Pad Pradarshak Guru or their mentor for a few years, then how is it possible that we do not expect any respect from them? Well, sometimes really advanced devotees, it's not that we insist that they don't give us respect. It's not that we insist that they don't give us respect. But at the same time, we should not expect it. Ideally, the fact we may, in all likelihood, because if our anartha nivritti is not complete, we may expect respect. But in reality, we should not respect. But that does not mean that we insist that they breach the etiquette and not show us respect. That's not necessary. But internally, we should not expect respect from them. So, yeah, that is the point. But sometimes, if they act in a, we may be clearly their seniors, but if they act in a way which is breaching the etiquette and by not giving the respect that should be given to a senior, then we should be concerned. But how would you address it? Because anyway, they are already not respecting you. So if they are not respecting you, then in all likelihood, they will not be willing to accept your correction also, because the respect is not there. So then how do we address it? We may not be the best person to address it also. First thing is, we should be very clear that I am not getting upset because I am not getting the respect, but I am getting upset because out of genuine concern for them. So, and if in that case, if we have genuine concern for them, then we can, and because they're really not showing respect to us, then in all likelihood, they will not be willing to accept our correction also. So in that case, we should not correct. We can bring this to the attention of someone who may be even senior to us and whom they really respect. So then we can bring it to their attention and let them handle the case. Otherwise, we just let it go. It's okay. So many times we may be Pad Pradarshak Guru, but over a period of time, we may lose respect, or someone may lose respect for us. It is quite possible. But one should still, the follower, the follower should still have a very grateful disposition towards the Pad Pradarshak Guru. But having said that, it is quite possible that in one's progress on the path of devotional service, one may get inspired by different people, different devotees. That is quite possible. Just because someone has introduced one to Krishna consciousness does not mean that person should throughout his life derive inspiration from me only. Just I have been his Pad Pradarshak Guru does not mean throughout his life he should derive inspiration from me only. He should be under my guidance only. That is absolutely not needed. In our life, at some point someone introduces us, we are grateful for that. But at some other point, we may start deriving inspiration from some other people, and that should perfectly be fine. So that's my understanding. Okay, Krishna Naam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat.
Prabhu, you said that you have to, the genuine association is one where the devotees will point out our deficiencies so that a scope for our improvement, rather than just showering praises on somebody without, even though they don't deserve it. But in practical life, we find it difficult to come across devotees who will take the liberty of pointing out deficiencies. Rather, mm-hmm. the other way around, that is what is more prevalent. People shower praises on each other. Mm. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. Like that, devotees keep praising each other without any consideration of what is their progress or what is their status. So I find it difficult to handle, especially when praises are showered on us without, when we don't deserve even an iota of it. Mm. So that is a difficult situation to handle. at the same time to get devotees who can take, who will take the liberty of pointing out our deficiencies. That is also difficult to come across.
Well, that needs investment, bro. Actually, to get people who will praise us, that needs very less investment, because such people may not necessarily mean every single word that they tell us also. Most people may not actually mean what they speak. You know, it is as a matter of just, you know, praising, they will praise and leave. But to get a devotee...
How to handle such situations, Prabhu? How to handle that?
I mean, the best thing is to pass it on to where it actually belongs. So, rather than holding it and actually taking it very seriously. So, you know, pass it on to the Guru Parampara, to where it belongs. But the, this is easy, and we should understand that, you know, actually the Shastras say that if someone does not know you sufficiently, and if he glorifies you, to accept such a glorification is actually an insult. So if they, so therefore we have to see, as Krishna says, yadyad vibhuti mat sattvam shrimad urjitam evava tatta deva bhagachattvam mama tejongsha sambhavam. Whatever splendor that you see in this world, anything or any object or person possesses, you should understand that it is just a manifestation of my expansion of my potency in the form of Paramatma. So ultimately, so if we have this understanding that whatever I possess, I am just made of mercy. So whatever, you know, I am, see, like say for example, people may glorify your class, but we should understand that what we are speaking in the class, it is not that I have, it is not my devotional revelation. It is the devotional revelation of the acharyas. So if I am quoting the devotional revelation of the acharyas, you know, then, and if they are glorifying it, then the credit goes to the acharya only. How can I take that glorification? So in that way we can pass it on. But the more important thing is that people don't correct me. That actually needs lot of actually investment from our side to develop a relationship, because no one wants to correct, especially those who are serious about their own progress on the path of devotional service. They will naturally not be interested in pointing out other people's faults. But if we are genuinely interested in our own progress, then we will find out such a devotee who is more advanced than us, who is very, who is like-minded, and we have to invest in establishing a relationship with that person through the six exchanges. Dadati pratigrannati guhyamakyati pruchati bhungte bhojete chaiva. And make that person feel that I am genuinely interested in progressing and I am struggling with my anarthas and I need help. So you please help me. So when the person feels that he is pleading to me for help, and he wants the help in the form of correction, then as a service, then the devotee will start seeing it as a service and a need from our side. So if we don't express that need, and if we don't establish that relationship, we can actually express that need, then just like that, we can't expect people to will come and correct us and with those, if such kind of, just like that people come and correct us, we will also not be in a proper mood to accept such correction also. So it needs to for receiving praise, that, you know, you don't need a very deep relationship, because as a matter of duty, people will come and praise us and go, because everyone knows that a devotee is supposed to find the good things in others and praise. That everyone knows. You don't need a very deep-rooted relationship in that. But if we want someone to actually correct us, then we have to really invest in that kind of a relationship and earn that relationship. So that that is what here he is telling. Prabhudayita samanta matulam. Sadatvam sevasva. Prabhudayita Santamatulam. If we are willing to serve such a devotee, then that devotee will correct us. And when that devotee corrects us, then we will know, I have so much faults, you know, so how can I accept all that glorification which is coming? So that needs definitely some investment from our side, that we have to earn it. It will not come. Praise will come without much effort. But to develop a relationship, but to get an opportunity to from a person who will correct us, that needs investment. If we properly invest in establishing that relationship and earn that relationship, then that person can actually correct us. Then we will be willing to take that correction also. Otherwise, if from tomorrow, honestly, if all those people who are praising you, if even two or three of them will come and correct you, actually, or correct us, we will be seething with anger actually. Because we're wondering, what right do you have to correct me? You know, we will naturally think like that. Because there is no relationship that exists. So without relationship, in our conditioned state, we can accept only praises. But to accept correction, you need solid relationship. Only then it is. Otherwise, we need solid relationship or extreme humility, which is characteristic. And if that person exhibits that kind of extreme humility naturally, then that person will have much faults also actually. Because that kind of extreme humility is possible only at the stage of nishtha, when one has significantly crossed anarthana vritti. So the only solution is, actually we have to invest in a relationship where we actually inspire that person and very clearly communicate to that person that I need help, and the only way you can help me is by cutting my mistakes. So when he feels that he needs my help in the form of corrections, then as a service, he will correct. But otherwise, no sincere qualified devotees want to point anyone else's mistakes. Is that okay, Prabhu? Krishna Nam Prabhu, can you unmute yourself?
Yes, Prabhu, it makes a lot of sense.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srinivas Prasad Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Guruji.
Dandat Prabhu.
Guruji, thank you so much. Aapne bahut acche se samjhaya hai. Very beautifully explained the question of Krishna Prabhu. And it really makes things very, very clear. So investment is required in this. Relationship is required for that.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, Prabhuji, like when we get into devotional on this devotional path, when somebody comes to this devotional path, so in the beginning stage, everybody wants appreciation or respect, and I think, is it a gradual process that slowly one understands that he does not need this praise, because it is it will hamper his devotion. So is it does it come gradually, or by forcibly also, if we know the facts now. So mm-hmm. can we just by knowing the facts, can we overcome these things, or still we need the time, which maturity, which will come with the time? And
no, it will not come with time. The solution is in this verse, na? Sadhatvam sevasva prabudayita samanta matulam. It will come by endeavor in the form of serving advanced devotees. By the endeavor of serving advanced devotees, then the desire for fame will go away.
Mm.
That's what this verse says.
Basically, service to sincere devotees and sincere devotees will gradually reduce this propensity.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thanks a lot.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so I think we will continue if there is no further discussion points. So we have been discussing the commentary to the 7th verse of Manasiksha by Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj. So now he is going to address the same thing that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur addresses in his Bhajan Darpan commentary about, you know, how this Prashta Asha can manifest in these three kinds of devotees, three sadhakas, the Swanishta, the Parinishtita, and the Nirapeksha sadhakas. Of course, this is in one sense, okay, there is, okay. One more hand up. SGD. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Dhanavad Pranam Prabhuji.
Dhanavad Prabhu.
Prabhuji, I'm new to this group. You added me. Thank you for adding. I'm regularly listening your lectures, but I'm to understand your concept and this, it's taking time. Maybe here I had a doubt in on the last point what you said, when you are a Mark Darksha Guru, is there some guru you accepted whom you want to correct you, correct you? So in that case, when you follow somebody as like that, in such case, you are accepting somebody to correct you. Mm-hmm. When he does any fault and somebody is correcting him, whether how we have to react?
Well, that is...
Like suppose you accepted some Guru Maharaj or someone and you are following and he is correcting you. You are in a good relation. But he, the Guru who is correcting you, he also having some fault and somebody chastising him or like that. Then how we have to react, whether we have to counteract him or how we have to deal that situation, Prabhuji?
If is he chastising directly that guru, or is someone talking ill about that guru behind the guru's back? What is your question? I'm not able to understand.
Means, in front of you only somebody is correcting him or chastising him, and as a disciple of him or follower of him, how we have to react? But from the guru side, he's not saying anything because he's already in the nishtha stage or beyond anything.
So
you got my point, Prabhuji?
Yeah, I understood your point. Here I think we need to see what is the relationship of that guru with that person who is correcting him. We have to see that. And we also have to see what is our relationship. Say, for example, if your Guru Maharaj is being corrected by his god brother, and you are his disciple, then you don't have any business to... Because they are God brothers. One God brother can always correct another God brother. We are just the position of disciples only. So we should not even observe it. We should just walk away. It is between something, some exchange is happening between two God brothers. And as a disciple, you know, we don't have anything to contribute there. We should not do anything. Because they have a relationship.
In this case, I understand. But in the case where Maharaj, Guru Maharaj already is above Nishtha stage, so they don't react even if somebody correct also they accept it.
That is
but okay. As we are following, yeah, that when we are seeing the situation, we feel that why he is insulting my Guru Maharaj or why he is trying to correct him. He is already correct like that.
Yeah, but that we have to see. But anyway, but your Guru's God brother is on the Guru's level only for you, no? Your Guru's God
even,
brother.
Even if our Guru is right, we should accept that.
Which means, we are thinking, see, it's not about the question of right or wrong. It's about the question of, it's about whether, what is the best way to act as a devotee.
Okay.
So it is not about being right or wrong. So, you know, so therefore we have to, it is not etiquette to, then we will end up, see, at least whether it is, if it is one God brother correcting another God brother, it's still okay. But if you are correcting that God brother, it will be a disciple correcting the guru figure, which is
yes, correct.
More deeper correct. Breach of etiquette. So if a God brother correcting another God brother is not necessarily a breach of etiquette. It may be, but it may not be that serious a breach of etiquette. But if you are a disciple, and see, as a disciple, we have to first ask, you know, am I becoming angry because someone has insulted a pure devotee, or am I becoming angry because someone has insulted my guru?
Yes, probably. This is the point I'm asking.
So that's where, you know, even, you know, we cannot tolerate because it is my guru. So that mood is not correct. And also it will be inappropriate on our part to correct a person who is supposed to be our guru figure. So something that happens between the God brothers, it will be resolved between the God brothers, and we cannot pour. Is that okay?
Yes, Prabhu, that is fine. Because I came to this situation like with the Siksha Gurus, between Siksha Gurus, you know, you have the Siksha Guru and you follow, and then somebody correcting your Siksha Guru like that.
Yeah, I mean, somebody correcting, see, ultimately, everyone is fit to be corrected. Na? So, so that is good actually. So, in fact, this is Parampara system. Do you think at some stage someone is, Prabhupada was corrected by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? So, just because Prabhupada is my Param Guru, is it that if Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was alive, we will go and challenge Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur? That is not necessary. So, and this is Parampara system that my Siksha Guru is correcting me and expect me to accept the correction. So similarly, he is showing by his example that he is also accepting correction from someone and implementing it. So that is Parampara system, right? So,
yes,
yeah, so that is perfect. It is between them, we should not poke our nose actually. Okay.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Okay. I think we should continue now. Let's continue. So now we refer once again to these three sadhakas, Svanishta, Parinishthita, and Nirapeksha. What happened to them if they also continue to harbor this deceit within their hearts and this desire for honor and distinction? So Svanishta, Parinishthita, and Nirapeksha devotees, if they have this desire for honor and distinction, then what will happen? This is subsequent to what we read in the previous verse. He says, this Svanishta Bhakta, or the householder who is trying to be fully surrendered, who is fully engaged in preaching activities, starts to yearn for honor and manifest the hope for being seen as being a great religious leader, a very generous personality and sinless. This is how the desire for fame manifests in a Swanishta Sadhaka, that he wants to be seen as being a very great religious leader, a very generous personality and sinless. So therefore, he wants recognition for his position. Same thing, he is almost repeating. Okay. The Parinishtita, or the devotee, is nicely following rules of bhakti, worshipping the deity in their home and working in whatever particular way they want to become recognized also as a great devotees, to be seen as very detached and very knowledgeable. So this is what they want, to be seen as very detached. I am a very knowledgeable person and people should recognize me as such and give me that kind of recognition. Like that one may feel. So that is how the desire for pratishtha manifests in a Parinishtita devotee. And the nirapekshas are the same. Everyone should recognize that they have become pure devotees. Being completely detached, understanding the purport of all the shastras and being the masters of all aspects of bhakti. You know, people should see, hey, when I am giving class, when I am trying to speak about Krishna Katha, pure devotee man, everyone should come and listen, right? Why people are roaming around when I am sitting to give class? You know, they should be willing to hear from pure devotees, right? What kind of people are they? Which means we are in the wrong dress actually. Because a truly nirapeksha devotee can never have desire for fame, because desire for fame goes away at the stage of nishtha only. Then after nishtha is ruchi, after ruchi is asakti, and after asakti is bhava. And only at the stage of bhava one is supposed to accept the dress of an nirapeksha devotee. But if we are hankering for it, if we are yearning for it, and when we don't get it, if we are really upset, which means we are not qualified. We are not qualified to wear that dress actually. Right? So he says, for all types of devotees, the problem is mainly always wanting recognition. An important point is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this honor is one of the elements of deceit. Because we are deceiving ourselves of the real goal. Ultimately, we are supposed to be anyabhilashita shunyam. That is pure devotional service. If you are on the path of pure devotional service, then we are deceiving ourselves by wanting fame. Because fame is definitely anyabhilasha. And ultimately, our practice should be anyabhilashita shunyam. Right? So he says, deceit can be rooted out to the proportion that one is free from this desire for honor. So as long as this desire for honor is there, then the upapati, kapatya upapati, the deceit. Kapatya upapati. The paramour of deceit will come. So to the degree we are actually free from this honor, to that degree the deceit will actually leave the heart. And the heart is like a cup. You can have a cup of ink, and if you just keep pouring in milk, then ultimately all the ink will be out. Okay. So heart is like a cup. Whatever you pour in it, that's what will be there in the cup. If in the cup, if we pour ink, there will be ink. If we pour milk, there will be milk. But if there is already ink, which is all the anarthas, then if we start pouring milk, then gradually all the ink will leave. Therefore, what we want to fill the heart's cup up with is pure devotional service rendered with real humility. Here, specifically, what is being stated is that one should serve the pure devotees. So he says, కథం సాధు ప్రేమ స్పృశతి. స్పృశతి మీన్స్ టచ్. హీ సేస్ దిస్ సాధు ప్రేమ ఆర్ లవ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ విల్ నాట్ ఈవెన్ టచ్ అస్, నాట్ టు మెన్షన్ వి విల్ నాట్ గెట్ ఇట్, వి వోంట్ ఈవెన్ బి ఏబుల్ టు టచ్ ఇట్. వాట్ టు స్పీక్ ఆఫ్ అటైనింగ్ ఇట్? అటైనింగ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ డిఫరెంట్. వి వోంట్ ఈవెన్ బి ఏబుల్ టు టచ్ ఇట్. We won't touch it and it will not touch us as long as our consciousness is contaminated by this desire for honor. As long as the desire for honor is there, we can never progress. And it will attract all the other anarthas also. So one devotee has that, is it just sufficient to know that it is there? Will this knowledge only help us overcome this desire for pain? No. But this knowledge is very critical. When this knowledge becomes a part of our value system, so before understanding this, we valued fame and recognition. Now that we understand that fame and recognition is a poison, it's not that suddenly our taste for this fame and recognition will go away, but at least we will start seeing it as an anartha. And that is a very good starting point. So we will see that, yes, I have this desire. Yes, I am tormented by this desire for fame. But I want to get rid of it because it is poison. So at least we will start seeing it that way. And this is a very good starting point. We should be able to identify what is artha and what is anartha. So for that, it is important actually that we know that it is anartha. And if you are trying to get rid of it, and if you are not able to get rid of it, then at least we will resort to prayers. We will try to pray to Krishna, or we will try to take help from other devotees. And these are like very, very favorable things in our devotional service. One may not have desire for fame, but one may not be helplessly dependent on Krishna. So it is better to have a desire for fame and identify it as actually an obstacle and actually be prayerful. Then one may, because yumi is not necessarily a symptom of pure devotion. A pure devotee will definitely be humble, but not all humble devotees are, but not everyone who is humble is necessarily a pure devotee. So therefore, someone may not have desire for fame, but he may not be a devotee also, or he may not be that great a devotee. It is better to have one or more of these anarthas and helplessly seek help and pray to the Supreme Lord than to not have these anarthas at the same time and not be dependent on Krishna and devotees actually. So it is better. So therefore, if we identify that this is an anartha, even though we may have it, actually, this is a very, we are in a very advantageous position because we have at least started identifying it as an anartha and an obstacle to make progress. So the next step is we will try to address it. And then we will realize that I cannot address it alone. I need help, which is very good. And then we will start seeking help. And this is the best part of our devotional service, when we start seeking help. And then Krishna becomes very pleased. So that's what he says here. So we won't touch, it won't touch us as long as our consciousness is contaminated by this desire for honor. What to do? The verse says, what is the solution? The solution is, Sadatvam Sevasva also Prabhudaita Samantam. Pure devotees of the Lord who are Atula, incomparable, are pure. So the solution is serving advanced devotees, serving advanced souls. Then what happens? He says, then Nishkasya Tvaritam, they will very quickly kick out all these impurities, and Veshayati, they will establish Sadhu Prema, that pure love. So, Sada Sevasva, you should always serve the devotees, because serving Vaishnavas induces humility. Serving Vaishnavas induces humility, and when we receive that humility, then naturally the desire for fame goes away. Right? So then Maharaj says, even if you don't have humility now, if you serve devotees, you will become humble. The serving mood, the mood of humility, is the antithesis of pride and the desire for honor. It neutralizes and destroys them. So those who are very dear to the Lord, Prabhudaita Sadatvam Sevasva Prabhudaita Samanta Matulam Yatatvam Nishkasya Tam Veshayati Saha. Like that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the heart of pure devotees are saturated with Kladini Shakti, and when we serve them, they become compassionate. So the heart of pure devotees is saturated with Kladini Shakti, and when we serve them, they become very compassionate. The result of that compassion is that they bestow their mercy on us. Right? Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. So service attracts that mercy. And upadekshanti. So when we serve them in a very pleasing way, then when they become pleased, then they bestow mercy in a way where they don't want to keep anything with themselves. They want to share whatever they have with us. So what do they have? So bestowing mercy means that they transfer Hladini Shakti from their hearts. A ray of that potency becomes transferred to the hearts of the others, and the Hladini Shakti purifies all the contaminations present in one's heart. So in that way our anartha nivritti becomes very, very fast. If we engage in serving such pure devotees, it not only purifies but also generates love. So yata tam nishkasya tvaritam iha veshayati saha. It will not only kick out the anartha of desire for fame, but it will also firmly establish pure love for Krishna. The verse says this process happens immediately, tvaritam. It will happen quickly, but we must do it. Endeavor has to be from our side. Sadatvam seva sabudaita samanta matulam. We have to endeavor to serve the advanced souls. So, Nishkasya Tvaritam Ihatam Vesheti Saha. The association of devotees in a proper mood will expel all these unwanted qualities and will simultaneously give us access to love. So, this mood of serving devotees is very critical. So that's what he says. We can only get love of God from devotees. Maybe we can get it from Krishna, but that is very rare. You know, when sometimes Krishna can give in the form of prasiddhi, but it is generally very rare. he says, Shila Rupa Guru says, Adhyastu Praikaha, but this type he calls it Viralaha. You know, Adhyastu Praikaha, through Sadhana Binivesh Bhava, or when one receives Bhava or Prema through the practice of Sadhana, Praikaha, most people get Bhava and Prema through Sadhana only. Those who get it through direct kripa of the Supreme Lord, he says, this is very virala, very, very rare. The conclusion is that one should serve the Vaishnavas. One should serve the dust of their lotus feet, take the remnants of their foodstuff, and take their instructions. Because all of these things possess that same Hladini Shakti. Dust of their lotus feet, remnants of their food and their instructions. So they possess the same Hladini Shakti. Then we will become free of all these impediments to our spiritual life. We can also remember to read and study pastimes concerning the particular demons which are representative of these disturbing elements, specifically deceit is Bakasur. So Bakasur, that's why Bakabid Vartma Pagani. So the devotees are said to be the protectors of the path leading to Krishna, who is the killer of Bakasur. And Bakasur represents deceit and duplicity. So, which means that if we want to be on the path towards Krishna, then we have to allow the policemen of the devotees to actually destroy that deceit. And the way that will happen is by serving them. So he says, don't forget to call out, O servants of the killer of Baka, read the story in Krishna book and hear that particular pastime. So when we read that story in Krishna book, hear that pastime, then that will also help us overcome our deceit and hypocrisy. The other three qualities which we read about happening to the Parinishthita Nirapeksha and Swanishtha devotees, that is speculation, fault finding and argumentation, those anarthas are represented by Trinavarta, Aghasura. So, okay, Trinavarta is repeated again. And Trinavarta again. So, argumentation and speculation is represented by Trinavarta and fault finding is represented by Aghasura. Right? So, like that. So, if you remember, in the very first verse of Manasiksha, in Shivaram Swami Maharaj's commentary only, he mentioned that how do we overcome, because he said that Guravu Goshte Goshtalayishu Sujane Bhusuragane Swamantri Namne Virjana Vayuva Dvanda Sharane Sada Dambam Hitva. So he says, I'll give up this pride. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this pride manifests in these various kinds of anarthas. And one of the solutions that Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj mentions is that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that each of the demon that Krishna kills in Vrindavan is the personification of one of the anarthas. So, if we hear about the pastimes of Krishna killing these demons in a very, very attentively, in a very respectful mode, then that respectful hearing of that time can actually help us overcome that anartha. That's what he says. So now, Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj is going to quote the verses which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also has quoted about why we should serve the devotees, because the Shastras glorify service to the devotees, he's going to quote the same verses. But before we discuss those verses, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, then I will pause for a few seconds to see if anyone wants to share anything. You can please raise your hands. Anything anyone would like to share? Okay, so if there is no discussion points or questions, then I think we will move ahead. So now he is quoting this from Padma Puran, which is a very popular verse, and we are in this in Bhaktivinoda Thakur also quoted. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnor aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. Aradhananam sarvesham, of all the types of worship, Vishnor aradhanam param, the worship of Vishnu is considered to be the topmost. Tasmat parataram devi, and superior even to worship of Vishnu is tadiyanam samarchanam, is worshipping the devotees. So this we all saw, he's quoting these verses. And then the same verse, yat sevaya bhagavatah kutasthasya madudvishah ratiraso bhavet tivrah padayor vyasanardhanah. By service to the devotees, ratiraso bhavet tivrah, tivrah ratirasah, intense rasa of bhava bhakti to the Lord manifests, bhavet appears, and padayor vyasanardhanah, and destruction of material suffering also takes place. So in this way, serving the devotees definitely helps us overcome the obstacles that are stunting our devotional growth. And it also, so service to the devotees is means of both anartha nivritti and artha pravritti. That's what is being discussed here. So Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj says, in this connection, Rupa Goswami makes a very important point in the conclusion of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where he says, all the different aspects of devotional service which are stated in Nectar of Devotion all pertain to Krishna. In other words, he has explained how to make advancement by one way or another in relationship to the Lord. He also says, all the different aspects of devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which have been discussed in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, should also relate to serving the Vaishnavas. Of course, this is not at the end of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is at the end of the discussion of the limbs of devotional service, the 64 limbs. In that section, Srila Rupa Goswami says, now I have discussed the 64 limbs of devotional service, or 64 limbs of sadhana bhakti towards the Supreme Lord. But these are not just limbs of bhakti towards the Supreme Lord alone. Almost all of these limbs can be formed with respect to devotees also, he says. Like that. In other words, whatever is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in relationship to Krishna, you can do the exact same thing in relationship to Vaishnavas. He continues. This is the opinion of the Panditas. So then he says, to conclude our commentary on this verse, here is the quote from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.241, which Bhaktivinoda quotes at the end of his commentary to verse 7, describing a pure devotee. This is the nature of a real Vaishnava. What is the nature of a real Vaishnava? So this is actually, as we saw, this is, you know, Rupa Goswami's own compilation glorifying Vaishnava Seva. So he says, we already read this verse, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had quoted this verse. He said, Drig Ambo Birdauta, Drig Ambo Birdauta Hapulaka Patali Mandita Tanu, Skalan Antapullo Dadatati Pratum Vepatum Api दृशो कक्षां यावन् मम स पुरुषः कोऽपि उपययौ न जाने किं तावन्मतिरिह गृहे नाभिरमते. As since I saw a certain person whose body was washed with his own tears, whose hairs were standing on end, and who stumbled around with a joyous heart. These are the symptoms of, these are the Ashtasatvika Vikaras, which are the symptoms of Bhava. While quivering to the extreme, my mind has for some reason become so attached to the form of Krishna that I have no attachment to my family. So that's what he says, that since the time that I saw such a devotee, I was so I have become so attached to the form of Krishna that I have no attachment to my family, like that. So this brings us to the end of Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj's commentary. So next is the commentary by Srila Shachinandan Swami Maharaj. But before we start that commentary, if there are any quick comments, discussion points, then we can take before we move on to Srila Shachinandan Swami Maharaj's commentary. Okay, so if there are no further comments, then we will continue our discussion. So this is Srila Shachinandan Maharaj's commentary. So Maharaj says, we find it so difficult to renounce the desire for distinction. So Maharaj says, never touch this tool-like desire if you want to develop love for Krishna. It may seem strange that this desire for name, fame and glory is the root of all problems. We may feel that some self-esteem needs to be there. Otherwise, we may feel depressed and insecure and the world will trample on us. We may feel like that. Oh, I need some... some self-esteem, right? If I don't have, is humility lack of self-esteem? No, certainly not. Humility is not lack of self-esteem. But, you know, one has the right self-esteem in his connection with Krishna, where he sees that whatever I have is actually the mercy of devotees and Krishna upon me. That is not lack of self-esteem. But it is the right understanding. It is natural humility. So, but lack of self-esteem is when we don't see Krishna's mercy, when we don't see devotees' mercy on us, and we only see our own lack of what we have. So we are not concerned mercy. We are not... I'm sorry, there is a lot of background noise and it's really distracting. Anyway, so there is some election campaigning that is going on here. And I mean, so it's, you know, blasting with their loudspeakers on, you know, campaigning for the, you know, some local body election or something like that. And so loud, actually. I mean, anyway. But I'll try to concentrate, I'm sorry. So here he says that it is not a question of, we do need, humility is not lack of self-esteem, but it's just true humility is when we see the manifestation, our existence as a result of mercy of devotees. When we see that mercy of devotees and Krishna in whatever other will see in us, that is not lack of self-esteem, that is true humility actually. And that empowers us. That makes us grateful and happy. And it does not make us depressed. But lack of self-esteem definitely makes us feel depressed. And lack of self-esteem is the other side of pride. And a person who lacks self-esteem and one who has pride, both cannot see that they are products of mercy. So, and both are born out of, pride is born out of mode of passion, and lack of self-esteem is that punctured pride which has degraded into mode of ignorance. That is lack of self-esteem. But real humility is actually beyond this mode of passion and mode of ignorance. Real humility is actually a byproduct of one's spiritual progress, where one can clearly see that they are products of mercy. So then in that case, we don't have to deny what people are seeing in us, but we can clearly see that what people are seeing in us is actually a reflection of what is there in Krishna and in the devotees. So they are seeing the reflection in me. So we don't have to deny the reflection, but just point out to where the real substance is. The real substance is in the other Vaishnavas and in Krishna. And what you are seeing in me is a reflection. That's all. Like that. So, Maharaj says, but this self-centered desire is a big problem. From the desire, I must be glorified and not Krishna, arises envy, an aggressive mentality, an inclination to criticize. So I must be glorified, I must be at the center. So from this arises envy. Then we cannot tolerate. So we are not interested in glorifying Krishna. We are interested in ourselves being glorified. So therefore, naturally, when someone else is being glorified, we cannot tolerate it. We become very aggressive and we tend to criticize, because that is the way of pulling them down. Right? The moment we don't surrender to Krishna, having a my way style of thought, we will become envious of others and we will be violent, aggressive, and we will criticize. So many anarthas come from this. So the self-centeredness and wanting to be known, wanting to be glorified, wanting to be a big person, if we don't address the root cause of this problem, then all the other problems will come. Again, His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj is also indicating that. So Raghunath Das Goswami uses the example of an outcast woman who lives by selling her body and devours dog meat. This woman is shamelessly dancing in our hearts. The desire for fame supersedes all other desires. People can be manipulated even out of their money if you flatter them for fame. I mean, this is so true, right? Many times we have probably been at the receiving end of it. People have cheated us by just glorifying us like that. If this desire for fame is allowed to stay in our hearts, she will not stay alone. She will invite envy. That is why this is a serious problem in a spiritual institution for two reasons. This problem becomes very serious, especially in a spiritual institution. In a spiritual institution which propagates pure devotional service. One thing is, one side of the problem is that if you get glorification very cheap. We will get glorification very cheap. people will be, whatever little things that we do, people will glorify us. That will come very cheap, as we discussed, you know, for getting glorification, we don't need a very deep-rooted relationship. And the second thing is, this glorification is very intoxicating. And if we have some power or control, then we can very easily surround ourselves with people who will keep on praising us. So this is where the problem comes. Then when we keep on surrounding us with people who will praise us, the sycophants, the yes men, then this is such an intoxicating thing. Then we will become used to always having things our way. You know, we will become used to it. You know, whatever I say, because I am surrounded by people who will say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. You know, we will get used to always having our way. Then it becomes very difficult. Then it becomes very, very difficult to accept any kind of correction. When someone comes and tells Prabhu, this should not be done this way, then it becomes practically impossible for us to digest it. Many times in a spiritual organization, especially like ISKCON, this is a very dangerous thing actually. Very quickly we get position, at least in the outside world, we have to literally earn it. Without qualification, we don't get it. Because there is so much competition. But for spirituality, there is not much competition. So we are always short of people. So one can become a spiritual leader of some capacity with some amount of control much more easily in a spiritual organization than outside. It comes very cheap actually, because there is always shortage of manpower. And suddenly, so therefore, we are not spiritually also qualified to handle the kind of fame that comes. So in the outside world, to get the kind of fame that we get in a spiritual organization, in the outside world, we have to work at least 100 times harder, and still you will not get that kind of glorification and respect. So we are in a very extremely vulnerable position, because there is a very strong possibility that we can get addicted to this. Because people will quickly glorify us, especially if we have some very little capability of doing something, if we have some control. So therefore, when we get, and in the outside world, you get glorification, that is no problem. Your progress is proportional to how much people glorify you. But in the spiritual world, if people glorify you and if it gets in your head, then that will become, you know, that will spell our doom actually. Then we will never be able to progress on the path of devotional service, especially if we become addicted to this. Then if no one is there to correct us, or if you are in no mood to accept any kind of correction, then it becomes very, very sad situation for us. So that's what is being described here. So the desire for fame will always be united with envy, and they will mate and produce children of aggressiveness and criticism. Same thing which Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj mentioned. Here Srila Sachinandan Maharaj says, so the desire for fame will be united with envy. Actually, he says deceit, but anyway, I mean, these all will come. So then they'll be united with envy, and they will mate and produce children of aggressiveness and criticism, right? Because if we are envious, if we want fame, if someone else is getting fame, then naturally we will feel envious. Because why they will always be together? Because the root cause of desire for fame is rajogun, mode of passion. And one manifestation of mode of passion is actually desire for fame. And another manifestation of mode of passion is envy, right? Just like fire has heat and light. You cannot say that I only want light but not heat, right? It does not come. So similarly, mode of passion has multiple manifestations. Mode of passion has multiple manifestations. One of the manifestations of mode of passion is envy. Another manifestation of mode of passion is desire for fame. Another is lust. These are all products of mode of passion. So if one is there, the others will also be there. Just that when the right ambience is induced, then the others will also be triggered. So we have to be very careful. So therefore the solution is sadatvam sevasva prabhudaita samantamatulam, right? When they dance in our hearts, they will start a dance of destruction and destroy all our Vaishnava qualities. So it will be a tandavandritya. It will be the dance of destruction and it will destroy all our good qualities. So he says, we need to be vigilant and alert to quickly recognize this weed of pratishtha. So we may say, Prabhuji, just by hearing this, and knowing this, can we overcome it again and again? So because this is just accumulation of knowledge. True, it may be, but the point is we need to have the right kind of knowledge. Even though immediately we may not have the spiritual strength to address this problem, at least we will start understanding that this is something which is killing my devotional life. And that is a very good starting point. So therefore, we need to hear about this. We need to hear about this. But sometimes our problem may be so deep rooted that we may not be able to overcome it, and we may start justifying it also. That is a very sad state. Like someone was sharing with me that one devotee was telling him, Prabhuji, I know that I am committing offenses. I know that I am committing offenses. It's not that I don't know, but till now I have committed hundreds of offenses. Now, if I just commit a few more offenses, kya farak padta hai? What big difference does it make? So it does not make such a big so offense to ho hi gaya, one offense or 100 offense, how does it matter? The problem is it makes a big difference. So now we have addicted to committing offenses and we have started to justify it. So this is the problem is we may be addicted, but if you are in the right association, at least slowly we can try to de-addict ourselves. But many times what happens, when we find the addiction impossible to overcome and the desire for name glorification is still raging very strong, so then this leads to actually false philosophies. Philosophizing our problems, because no one wants to practice devotional service with guilt, because any journey with guilt is like climbing a mountain with 100 kilo backpack, you know, trekking a mountain with 100 kilo backpack, you know, it's very difficult. People want to be light. People want to travel light. Travel light means without guilt. Okay. But so there are two ways of getting rid of guilt, right? So if one is struggling with anarthas, then one way of getting rid of guilt is becoming humble and understanding that I am struggling with these anarthas and take help and gradually rectify the mistakes and then progress. But this is the hard work. This involves a lot of hard work. The easier way of getting rid of guilt is that when I see anarthas, and especially when I am troubled with this desire for fame and desire for glorification raging, then what it leads to is it pushes us in the direction of philosophizing our mistakes. Because I don't want to give up my fame, my glorification. And at the same time, I don't have the strength to overcome my anarthas. So what will I do? I will start making bogus philosophies. I will start philosophizing it. So one offense or many offenses, it does not make any difference. Now, who said this? Jiva Goswami very clearly says, when with 100 offenses, this is how our devotional life is affected. And 1,000 offenses, this is how our devotional life is affected. You know, we will not be able to tolerate even little bit of desire for sense gratification. We will succumb to it. Our ability to control our senses will be completely destroyed. And then if more offenses, then our faith will be lost. Like that he is describing. But what we will do, people can clearly see that I am committing offenses, but at the same time I don't want to give up my desire for name, fame, glorification. So what I will do, I will philosophize it. And in this way, when people having power and position start presenting these kind of deviant philosophies, then it becomes very difficult because people will start accepting it. Right. So therefore, Maharaj says here, we need to be vigilant and alert to quickly recognize this pratishtha. If we allow this to stay on, all our chanting and hearing will not serve our spiritual advancement, but it will only help to grow pratishtha and our family. We do not perform our bhakti for the recognition of others. It is not that we should be recognized, but that Krishna is recognized. Right? We may not be able to immediately apply this principle, but at least we should know that when I am craving for recognition, I should know that this is not good for my spiritual life. You know, that is a very good starting point to know what is artha and what is anartha, what is favorable, what is unfavorable. Just by understanding what is favorable and unfavorable, it's that overnight the unfavorable things will go away. But at least we will start our journey of trying to rectifying the mistakes rather than just justifying the mistakes. Right? He says, pratishtha is like poison. If we swallow it, it will poison us. If fame comes to us, be aware that it is by the mercy of our Guru. What is the cure for this desire for fame? Raghunath Das Goswami says, Sevasva Prabhudaita Samantam. Serve the leader of those who are dear to the Lord. He compares such a devotee to a powerful general. The desire for fame is songs, so we need some force to remove it. And that force is coming from a pure devotee. Military action is required for this. If we want desire to be removed, we need a special squad, a real devotee whom we should serve. He will bring love into our hearts. Right? So how meeting this devotee will to our hearts, we will discuss it. But before that, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, anyone would like to share, add some questions, you can please raise your hands or type in the chat box. Okay, there is one. Someone. There is something in the chat box. Okay, I will read from the chat box. In the meantime, if someone would like to raise your hands, you can please raise. So there's a question. You see this happening, then in that case, what is our responsibility, especially in the case of leaders who can impact your service areas as well? I mean, see this happening means I'm referring to a leader keeping people surrounding him who may appreciate him or her. Well, what can we do? I mean, and if it is going to impact our service, then we can choose to be under guidance of someone else then. Because what can we do if that person already is addicted, then by our correcting that person, he will not like it because we are anyway subordinate. So at the most, there is a chance that if some of his superiors may address it. So if we are not superiors, so the best thing is to communicate this kind of, this style of, leadership or management to a senior devotee who can address it, who is in a position where he can have some impact. And then it is up to us to choose whether we would like to serve under that devotee, or if it is becoming too difficult, we are not able to maintain our consciousness, then we can devotional service. There is no end to devotional service. We can serve in many number of ways which are favorable. So we can choose then. So it is, there is no hard and fast rule. Ultimately, we need to wherever maintain a good level of Krishna consciousness, there we can choose to serve. There is no hard and fast rule that one has to serve under that devotee. But at the same time, we don't have to go and correct that person also if we are not at a position and we know for sure that he will not accept that correction. Then we don't have to do it. Let better communicate it to a person at the top, and then we can decide whether we wish to serve there or not. That's all. Okay. Anything else anyone would like to share? And okay. So if there is nothing, then I think we'll continue our discussion. We still have about 5 minutes. So he says that if we want this desire to be removed, then we need a special squad, a real devotee whom we should serve, and he will bring love into our hearts. So what exactly happens when we meet such devotees? The two effects when we meet such devotees. Love will come into our heart, and material attachments, fear of material existence, and other obstacles are destroyed. Therefore, please serve a pure devotee, giving your best and forgetting your own concern. Then we will feel, I am so different, so enlivened. So please serve a pure devotee, giving your best and forgetting your own concern, which means my own priorities and other things. At least we should have some experience of, giving up such considerations and work and worshipping such exalted souls. And it's not that whenever we serve an exalted soul, he will never ever allow us to serve in a way that we may like. It is not like that. I wish to serve in this particular way. It's not that by serving an exalted soul, they will say that no, you should not be doing it always. Sometimes they may do it just to protect us. But many times we may get to them that way also. They may identify that, this is the way he likes to serve. he gets inspired. So they may allow us to serve also in that capacity. But the point is, we should at least have some experience in our lives that, forgetting our own priorities, we should be willing to serve some devotees, surrendering to their priorities. And when we have that experience, then it is very favorable. You know, it can give us that higher taste. Okay, there is one hand up, Srinivas Prasad Prabhu.
Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhu.
My question is like, the nutshell of this verse is that we need to serve sincere devotees.
Prabhu, your voice is breaking. Your internet connection is little poor, I think. No, Prabhu, we are not able to hear you properly. You are audible but not clear. Your voice is breaking in between. I can see that you are speaking, but we are not able to exactly follow what you are speaking.
Is it fine now?
Yeah, better. Yes, Prabhu.
So my question is, Prabhuji, like what I understood that from this verse, that we need to serve sincere and pure devotees of the Lord. And by that, we can overcome this pratishtha. So mm-hmm. when we serve that, and while we serve pure devotees, and then other devotees come to know that we are serving senior devotees, and that the pride also comes while serving them. So that we are now serving so many devotees. And how do we, definitely we have to offer it to the Guru and the Lord. But
yeah, but it need not be a very visible service also. It need not be a visible service. It can be a very invisible service also.
Okay.
So there are many ways of invisibly serving. If we are concerned about, you know, pride entering into our heart due to, you know, our serving senior devotees.
Correct, correct. I got it. But at the same time, if we see our seniors also, many times from last so many years, we have seen that they always in their talks discuss that in 2014 or 15, 16, this senior Vaishnava came and we served. So how do we understand their mood and how should we take it when the senior?
Hey, I mean, it may not be a glorification of themselves serving that Vaishnava. It may be an expression of gratitude for having received an opportunity to serve. So that it may be the same thing, but how you perceive it is different. So, this senior devotee was served by this devotee. This is what happened. But it can be perceived in multiple ways. Someone may think that, oh, look, you know, I served that devotee. You know, I served that devotee. Or it could even be, oh, I was so fortunate that even though there were so many other qualified people, but somehow by Krishna's mercy, I had this opportunity to render this little service. So it is not really a... The way you present it, it can incite envy or appreciation people.
Correct.
If there is pride, it will create envy. When the way you present it, if there is pride, it will create envy in the other person.
Correct.
If there is gratitude, then it will create appreciation.
Appreciation.
So it depends in our, you know, in the way that we present also. But that does not mean that if someone is speaking about his opportunity to serve that senior devotee, and if I get envy in my heart, that does not necessarily mean that the person is speaking out of pride also. Should not use this to judge people like that. Correct. But we should understand that if I want to glorify myself in the association of devotees, then that will definitely incite envy. And those feelings of envy will severely affect our spiritual life, actually.
Correct.
But if we if we present it in a, if we express our gratitude, genuine gratitude, then that gratitude will attract appreciation from Vaishnavas. And if Vaishnavas feel appreciative of us, then it will tremendously build our spiritual life. So it all depends on that. The same thing. What happened, but how we feel, how we present. It's not just how we present, it's about how we feel about it. You may be very eager to present it, and we may want to main isko na thoda humbly present karta hun taki mujhe appreciation mile. Ab agar waise hi sochte hain to it is pride which is there inside, but we are trying to present it in a very humble way, and people can see it. One who is humble would not want to advertise it. Many times we tend to advertise it using words which are accepted as words indicating humility, but then people can see beyond the words actually. Correct. And it will definitely generate some envy. And that if so many Vaishnavas are feeling envious, or then it will not be good for our spiritual life also.
Correct. Thank you so very much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. So grateful to you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Okay. So one last quick comment question, and then we will have to end. There is one in the chat box. If we are serving a pure devotee for our own purification, is it necessary for that devotee to know that we are serving him or her? Really necessary. Because when he receives that service, when he becomes happy with that service, even not knowing who has served him, that feeling of joy is appreciated by Krishna, and we will get our devotional progress is guaranteed. So it is not necessarily if we are internally so so advanced that even that we don't even want the satisfaction of being recognized as that person who has rendered that service. So don't then that's a very advanced position actually. Then just by when the devotee becomes happy and glad, you know, that is good enough for our progress. He does not even have to know who has rendered that service. Like that. Anyway, we will pause here. Thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. So we will continue this discussion next Monday. So thank you very much. Sorry, next Tuesday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Pad ki jai, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai, Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj ki jai, Sachinandan Swami Maharaj ki jai, Shri Mana Siksha ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.